All right, everybody. Thank you for coming into the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. We're broadcasting live here from Mississippi in our Mississippi location. I am Khalif Safnat Pahania L, and you are live in the Royal Priesthood Room. Thank you for tuning in, those of you in the BBS radio audience and those of you in the Royal Room tonight. We are excited about tonight and what we have been discussing for the last 4 weeks. And we had some great discussions there. I'm still waiting on my computer to come up. I'm sort of blind here tonight. Got some background noise. Someone has some background noise. If you have background noise, would you please push star 6 and mute yourself out? I'm having computer difficulties here. If you have background noise, would you please press star 6 on your phones and mute yourself so that the black background noise does not bleed through. I would appreciate it. I'm having problems here with my computer tonight. Brother Willie, are you there? Brother Curry? Brother Curry, are you there in the audience? Are you there? You have the open mic. Wow. It's a devil of a time here. Hopefully we'll get started here in just a second or two. Well, we have been discussing wealth creation through procreation, and we have been looking at it from a biblical worldview and from standpoint of what the Bible has to say about procreation. Of course, we've discussed many things in the last few weeks concerning wealth creation. And, of course, those of you who have been listening know that we discussed Genesis chapter 1, where the Most High commands the first man in the Bible to be fruitful and to multiply, which was his very first command. That fell on the ears of the man. So this is a, I guess, somewhat controversial subject in today's time because of the population explosion and certain ones that want to control our population through various means. We have looked at these various programs that are designed to keep our population under control, various eugenics programs and projects that have been launched in our world. But, of course, the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In another passage, we looked at Abraham, and Abraham was told that he would be blessed and he would be fruitful as well, that his seed would be multiplied. And in multiplying him, he said that his seed will be as numerous as the stars of heaven, and as the sand on the seashore. In Psalms 127, verse number 3, through verses number 5, it says, lo, children are heritage from the Lord, and blessed is the fruit of the womb. They are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And it says something else in that passage that's very, very interesting as it relates to children. It says that children would, blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them, and they shall defend him in the gates of his enemies. So we see
Doc,
that
you got some interference on your line. It's Dr.
I don't have my board, Dr. Prince, and I was waiting for Dr. Mills to get the board. Something happened to my computer, and I can't see anything at all. My computer won't come up. See if you can get Dr. Mills.
All right, I'll get back.
Grab the board.
I'll get back.
I can't. Okay, thank you.
I'll get back.
Hello. And I have my nephew here with me tonight. He's done our broadcast before. here in Mississippi. Robert, how you doing tonight?
You doing pretty good, son.
All right, good. Well, we've been talking, Robert, about wealth creation through procreation as a means to create wealth in the community and among our people and among the world. Because God said, be fruitful and multiply. And there's something there in procreation and the propagation of a human family that creates wealth. Just think of all of the brilliance and the geniuses that could be born, and all of the potential problem solvers could be born. Just think of, now there are people that want to reduce the world's population, and we're discussing that, and we're talking about why would people want the world's population reduced?
Because they can't control everybody. You know, they got stones written in Georgia. The stones written in Georgia saying that we want the population under 10 million for ease of control
right.
of people.
500 million. They want 500 million. We have about 7 billion people on the planet now to reduce.
This conference is being recorded.
Oh, looks like we got some help here tonight. Dr. Mills?
Yes.
All right, thank you, sir. I couldn't get to my board. I can't see a thing. You'd have
I'm going to mute everybody out.
All right, thank you very much. We got all right. We didn't get a chance to...
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So what we've been discussing is this notion and this idea of creating wealth by procreation, because this is something that has been said over and over in many, 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 many places in the Bible as a principle that comes to us through the pages of this sacred document that we call the Bible. Of course, now, it conflicts with our current culture. It conflicts. It is rather a controversial subject to talk about procreation in our present culture here in the West, because there are certain things that are in place in our society to contain as well as control, as well as to eliminate the possibility of a population explosion, especially among certain groups of people. One of the projects that come to mind readily is Planned Parenthood abortion clinics. And they've been in the news recently, and they've made the headlines about selling body tissues, and they have their arguments about why they do it in terms of research to use human tissue to look for answers to solve certain problems and certain diseases. Now, if you really listen carefully to what I'm really saying here, Planned Parenthood taking the body tissues of fetuses that have been aborted, looking for cures for diseases and doing research. Now, think for a moment. Think for a moment. That was a human being. That was a potential human being that could have come, that may have contained within that human's mind and soul the idea or the cure for the disease that they're looking for in the tissue of the very fetus that they're aborted and now going through to look for. Dr. Mills, I don't see, can't see my board, but I'm looking for my guest, Mr. Willie Curry. I don't know if he has the right sequence of the numbers. It should be a 318 number. If you see a 318 number there, I know one may be Dr. Abbott, but I'm looking for Mr. Willie Curry. He was supposed to be on tonight.
I'm on board.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I had called for you earlier, and I didn't know you were there. I'm just talking, and I didn't know you had come aboard. I can't see tonight, my beloved brother, and I'm so excited about having you with us tonight and to be able to turn you loose on this international radio Bible prayer and fellowship line. I am broadcasting, by the way, live from Greenville, Mississippi, here at our location down here, and it's an honor to have you to come back with us again because of your work, the work that you've done, the work that I saw you do as a part of a great, tremendous struggle that we went through in the 60s. I watched you lead Northern Louisiana in the campaigns for equality. And I saw you do it with integrity. I saw you do it with courage. I saw you do it with transparency. I saw you fearlessly organize and lead us and bring us to a level of consciousness, even as a teenager, as a child, as I watched you, it was very inspiring. You became a lot of our heroes and our hero. And we will ever be grateful for you, for your work. And we're thankful that you have not ceased, but you have continued. The struggle is not over, my brother. I know you know this.
Yes, sir.
I know you know that we are still rising to new levels. And we've been in, for all intents and purposes, we've been in this discussion about procreation and wealth creation through procreation. And in particular, we've seen some very things that it's difficult to talk about, but we must talk about them. We must talk about them. They're difficult to talk about, but we have to talk about it because we see that the black man on planet Earth has been attacked. He's been targeted. He's been isolated. He's been stigmatized. And I guess bottom line is what I'm trying to say. We must look for solutions and try to provide answers as to the plight of the black man on planet Earth, and in particular, the black man in the United States of America. He is public enemy number one. He is he's incarcerated at a higher rate. He has a higher rate of homicide, and he has a higher rate of, well, I won't say of mortality now, because there are some statistics that are coming out now that will fight against the mortality rates for the black man. There are other groups that are rising in that number that's replacing him there. But now the black man, of course, is incarcerated at a greater rate. And then there's another phenomenon, Brother Curry, in our community. That phenomenon is the phenomenon of same-sex marriage, which the Supreme Court just legalized. And we see that there is a new element being introduced into our culture of same-sex marriage. Now, you and I both know there was a time when we, not so long ago, it wouldn't have been thinkable to talk about same-sex marriage in certain circles, in certain communities. But now look at where we are. We are now faced with where same-sex marriage is legalized in every state called upon by the Supreme Court to recognize same-sex marriage. Now, what does that do to the black man? Why am I associating that with the black man? Because of the fact that something else in our culture that's reinforcing this, which is the movie industry, such as Empire and other pieces of the entertainment industry that's reinforcing this new phenomenon in our culture, as well as in the education system, Robert, where they're now mandating that this lifestyle be taught in school, educate our children to alternative lifestyles. And so a kid grows up thinking that it's okay for a man to be with another man and a woman to be with another woman. Now, why am I mentioning that in terms of the black man? I'm mentioning that in terms of the black man now because he's already incarcerated at a higher rate. He's being placed in jail in the criminal justice system, taken out of society. Then he has a higher homicide rate because he's being killed in the inner cities. And now we have another phenomenon that's occurring to him where he's turning away from females to males. So those three things, Brother Curry, isolated in and of themselves, leaves the black woman in a precarious predicament. What do you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, I'm honored and delighted to be here with the people and to be able to share with the brothers and sisters some of the things that I've experienced and stuff. And that is a phenomenon. You know, I hearken back to some of the words that I think that I've been taught and told that God told Adam and Eve, you know, to not mess around with that tree over there and be fruitful and multiply. And to the degree that we adhere to that, to an equal and same degree, will we be able to multiply in this wilderness of North America? You can make anything fashionable. You can make anything passe, if you will. You can make anything, whether it's attire, whether it's conduct, whether it's behavior, or whether it's same-sex marriage and stuff, you know. And I can't understand the concept. I know I look in Romans, the first chapter of Romans, it said, men burning in their lust one for another and doing those things which are inconvenient. Women also having lost the natural use of the man, you know. Maybe other ethnic groups, maybe other ethnicities can survive that. But we're being attacked from so many angles, from so many, on so many levels and stuff that we can't afford. We can ill afford to have a widespread situation where men are marrying men and women are marrying women. Of course, they got a right to their own choices and stuff, but I think that their choices are being influenced. To the degree that we adhere to the current status quo, you know, to an equal and same degree will we be inhibited in our progress. Procreation, as far as creating wealth, I think if you look in some of the third world countries, procreation, in particular polygamy, you know, is practiced not because of any perverted reason, but for the purpose of surviving. If you look in this country after the Civil War, in particular in the South, it was a lot of women left without a man. It was a lot of women who left with children, their husband had gone off to war and didn't come back. So this government realized and recognized that we cannot have a population of women without men. You know, we got to do something to rectify and straighten up this situation. So what they did, they went and found men and said, look, this is what we will do in order to help enable you. We will give you land. We will give you seed. We will give you dray animals if you marry this woman over here. We will put you in a situation where it's utterly impossible for you to fail. You know, now, with the incarceration rate, Louisiana, by the way, is a leading state in all industrialized world per capita with the amount of people who are incarcerated. You know, they had a philosophy of lock them up and throw away the key. And who that impacts most, first and foremost, is us. They had an incident. Let me mention this. This is off the subject for a moment. They had an incident down in St. Martinsville this past weekend where a six-year-old boy was killed. And the two police officers who killed that young guy, six-year-old child, which was tragic and bad, sad, the two police officers who killed him were immediately incarcerated. And I confided in my wife. I said, I bet those police officers were black. I bet they was black. Not that anyone is justified to arbitrarily just go out and kill because you're wearing a badge and a gun, you know. But even those police officers is a reflection of what the status quo is relative to us, you know.
May I slow you down just a little bit and jump in with you for about 20 seconds, because you touched on a couple of things there that I wanted to isolate just for the purpose of the broadcast. Okay. And that is the incentive that the government gave after the war. Were you actually saying that it was okay, and was there legislation, or did the government in the United States of America promote polygamy and multiple marriages after the war because of a lack of men in the country? Or did you say that, or did I just hear that with my ears?
I said that, you know.
Okay.
Despite the fact that there were abundant supply of men, young men who didn't go to war for whatever reason, you know, and there were a super supply of women who didn't have a man, who didn't have a husband. So what they did, they kind of hunkered down and said, now, look, you got to take this family right here. You're going to take these people, and we're going to incorporate these people. As a matter of fact, if you go back, they got a guy up in I think it's up in Utah, where you have the Mormon, you know, a guy named was Warren Jett. You know, these individuals practice polygamy in the classical sense of the word. You know, they can have 10, 12, and 14 wives. It's a religious thing, of course, but the fact of the matter, whether it's religious or whether it's social, you know, it's something that exists and survives in this country. And this is something that we need to look at. We need to unlook at the stuff that we've been taught and told that we must look at, and we got to get into a survival mode. A survival mode. We need more men teaching young black boys how to be men. Our women have done a fantastic job, an incredibly fantastic job. But we've come down to crunch time now where we have to recognize and realize that we're at war. Irregardless whether it's a declared war or whether it's a police action or whatever you may call it. You know, we need that. We need to unthink some of the stuff that we've been thinking. You know, we need to unscrew our minds and look at our reality.
Wow. Wow. That's quite a bit of a mouthful. I'm still stuck on the incentive of land, and you mentioned something about animals. That's an incentive that was given to men or to the citizens of the United States after the war.
Yes.
If they would be involved. We were in somewhat of a similar situation right now, because I read a stat the other day from one of the Ethiopian Alliance Federation that right now in America, by the time a young man and a young woman reaches the age 18 in the black community, there are 7 women to 1 man or 1 male. The women right now are outnumbering, which leaves, if we stay on our present course and we don't begin to address this, that leaves 6 women in our community without the possibility of having a mate. Right now, as we stand right now. So we must address this issue, and we must do it intelligently. We must do it, first of all, spiritually. We must do it with compassion, but we must do it. I believe that it is something that we have to address as something that we must give our attention to and not allow it to catch us by surprise, because it is occurring right before our eyes. And so I'm thankful for this setting that we have here on the international radio to give this, and this is not just a black problem. This is not just a black problem. However, the blacks are faced with a particular part of this problem that's very, very intense. It's not just a bad black problem. Because the community is so intricately and intimately attached together that if we're not careful, we can hurt various sectors of our community by not paying this attention, even though we are discussing it from a black perspective. And I beg of the other nationalities to bear with us as we try to find a way for solution, because the black female now, the black woman herself, is looking at a 7-to-1 ratio by the time she's 18. So what are her options? What are her options as you see it? I'd like to talk about the options there. What are her options? The black woman, what are her options? She can go outside of her race to look for a mate, or she can turn to another woman, because you have a surplus of women, as you said a moment ago, super surplus. You have 6 women that in the black community that do not have a mate if this stat holds true. So what are those 6 women to do? Go to another race for a mate in our present culture, then maybe turn to each other, which aborts and negates. It negates the concept of procreation, because 2 women cannot procreate. So now we introduce another subject there, which is genocide or genetic survival, which means that genotype will not survive. So what we're really talking about here is genetic survival of a particular genotype. And if this is God's will
for a particular genotype on this planet to cease to be, or if this is something diabolical, if this is not God's will, and someone who's working adversely to God's will is trying to bring something on the planet that we should address, and we must address it. Now, there are other options. I'm not trying to be funny here, and I don't want to offend anyone, but I read an article where they're trying to get robots ready to mate with women by 2025. So outside of your race, turn to another woman or a robot for a possibility alternative for these other six women. And there's one other possibility. Mr. Minister Farrakhan dealt with it on October the 10th, as I said last week. He dealt with it. He went back to the African culture of polygamy. Now, in the Bible, I better hurry up and say this because I don't want the government to jump on my case about this, so I better run to the Bible for cover. In the book of Genesis, there is polygamy in the 30th chapter where Jacob, as we talked about, is nation building, Brother Curry. Nation building. He's building a nation. He has 12 sons that will become 12 tribes, and those 12 tribes will become a nation, the nation that we call Israel. And he's in a polygamous relationship with his structure. He has four women that are producing children for him that become the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, that is the other option that I see. Now, this is not a European, this is not a Western culture, this is not going to sail well because we have been conditioned away from this, but yet we claim Christianity, a lot of people claim Christianity, but I think they will have problems when they really examine this. Now, the other thing I want to say about that is that now it wouldn't be fair if I didn't mention that when we get to the New Testament, polygamy is not permitted, and that is a problem. And I'm going to tell you why it's a problem. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says a bishop must be blameless and the husband of one wife. Now, that poses a problem because of Malachi 3 and 6. And what does Malachi 3 and 6 say? Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord, and I change not. So you have a situation in the Old Testament where God is permitting the structure of the family in a polygamous relationship, but yet when you get to the New Testament and taking this as God's word, it says that the bishop can only have one wife. But yet in the middle, it says he doesn't change. Now, going from four women producing a nation to one per one looks like a tremendous change to me. What do you say about that, Brother Willie? Hello?
Yeah, hello. Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, I said, what do you think about that change that I just mentioned?
Well, I don't know if it was because of the change of time. I don't know. I know in a lot of cultures where you have a shortage of men, you know, that culture, in order to survive, must do what they must do. You know, religion is for instruction and for spiritual enlightenment and stuff, but sometimes that you have to go outside of that in order to survive. Case in point, it was some people who was in a plane crash some years back, you know, and they was out in the wilderness for a long period of time. A lot of them were starving to death. And unless those people who were alive and relatively healthy, unless they start practicing cannibalism, they would not have survived, you know. And that's offensive to anyone's sensibility to think about eating another person. You know, as long as you're sitting up in your living room and being objective about it, well, that's offensive stuff. But when you're out there, your life is on the line, you got to do what you have to do. You know, deal with the consequences later. We as a people, black people, and as you said, all other ethnic groups, other races of people too, you know, we got to start thinking in terms of what is it that we must do in order to survive. You know, sure, I'm a Christian. You know, I practice a lot of the things. I was born into that. That is primarily all I know. That is what I hold high. But by the same token, I don't eat swine. I don't eat swine. I don't touch swine. The Bible teaches against that, you know. And if it come down to a situation where I'm starving to death, I might eat a little pork chop and ham hock and a few neck bones and stuff, you know. So by and large, by and large, survival is the name of the game. You know,
so we're really not, so we're really, this is very brief, we're really not talking about sex here, and this is what I don't want to come across.
Absolutely not.
Show. We're talking about survival and not sex.
Right, right. See, we, in this culture, everything is filtered through through the eyes of sex, through the eyes of that which is perverse, that through the eyes of this, that, and the other. But survival has nothing whatsoever to do with sex. I'm saying, say for instance, you only had one male dinosaur on the earth and three female dinosaurs on the earth. You know, it's not about sex for them to survive. I mean, for them to try to live and, you know, prolong their lives. It's about procreation, you know. And I want my grandchildren to have, I want my granddaughters to have a husband. I want my grandsons to have a wife. And I would like for those, my grandchildren, husband and wife, to look like them. But should they choose not to, you know, that's their prerogative, you know. And they're versed in the Bible, you know. But along with the verse in the Bible, there is a universal law. And I'm not saying that universal law supersedes the Bible. I'm just saying that there is a universal law, you know, that say nature, whatever you want to call it, doesn't care by any means, whether it's through artificial insemination, whether it's through the normal way of procreation. It doesn't matter. All nature cares about is whether or not you survive as an ethnic group. I don't think that God created all these various races of people for them to become extinct because of condition and circumstances. Find a way.
Well, you know, I find no conflict. One of the rules that I use in terms of interpreting the Bible is whether or not it complements natural law or cosmic law or universal law. Because I don't believe that cosmic law will conflict with the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, one scripture that you quoted a moment ago in Romans chapter 1, it said the invisible things of him from creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So cosmic law will always reflect the Creator. There will not be a conflict between Creator and creation.
Mm-hmm.
It only becomes a problem when we get to the creature who tries mm-hmm. to pervert both creation, natural law, universal law, cosmic law, and the Creator, and bend or break his will. And this is where we are right now. The instinct of survival is an innate instinct that is programmed into all life, including human beings,
mm-hmm.
to propagate and to survive. So if you have programs in your culture that are working against that basic instinct of survival, whether it be the instinct of survival built in for your genotype, in this case, the black man and the black woman, there are things that are working against him and her surviving. So that comes against what we call natural law. And you stated it earlier, which does not conflict with the law of the Bible or with creation. Now, that can be argued, again, because we kind of glossed over it, we sailed over it. But now you have two different standards or structures in the Old and New Testament. One structure is permitting the propagation and the proposition of wealth creation through procreation, the Old Testament. And then when we get to the New Testament, there's a new standard that's introduced. But in between those two standards is a God who says he does not change. But yet, there is a change, we see. So we must address that. I think we have
people in this audience and my pastor and other minds that can deal with this issue and bring extra insight. No one has everything, but everyone has something. And so what I wanted to say is that let's hear from some of them and see what they have to say, how do they weigh in on this particular topic. And Dr. Mills, if you would you open up the queue? We have about...
Q&A session started.
Thank you so much. Now, you can come into this discussion. Let's bring in Dr. France. I know he's out there someplace. I believe he is. And see if we can get him in. And see how he weighs in on this.
Are you here? I'm here.
Yes, sir.
I've enjoyed each of your statements tonight. I think what we will have to do, into a positive sense, is look at the world creation, how it was set up, and how it was changed. We look into all of the areas of change because we are playing catch-up. The only way you can catch up with anything is to straighten something that's wrong right. And we have to determine ourselves to accept the fact that God's word never changes. God set up the principle of the creation, and he made man, and he made him in his image, and he made him in his likeness. And one of the most essential things for us to realize that we had odds against us in our system. We've been trained and taught in the wrong direction. And in order for us to straighten it up, you got to change highways of life. You've got to get off of the highway that has been established through a system that began way in history. And that was the Babylonian captivity. And when you go back and study Babylonian captivity, God will structure his universe the way he wants it. But there's always been somebody smart that will be equalizing themselves to God. And that's very important because it's very significant because laws are set up, designed under the principles of those who have the leadership over our land. Now, we may not want to call or contradict what they're doing, but they're protecting their universe. And it was always designed for the black male to be a misfit in society. Not only did they instruct you that you was a misfit, but they even trained black females that you were not to be trusted. And the reason for that is because of sin. Sin have corroded our land and our opportunities of thinking like God. God is a God of love and not a God of division. But the division came forth when men set up laws contradicting the principles of God and the very fundamentals that God has placed for us to follow. And they come up with new areas. So one of the areas they come up, they tear down what God has set up in order to build what they want set up. And in order to beat somebody, you got to beat them down. And the black male had been beat down all over the land. We don't have to say that. But they woke up the other day and discovered that the black man outnumber their people. And that is a world thing. That's not just your Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi, and Georgia. It's not just those areas. The man that is strong, that is viable, that have taken the persecutions that have been planted upon him, and yet he still lives, and he's still growing in every part of the country, in every area where we've been to war. There's black folk there. And every war that ever was fought was fought by white and black. And what happens is you're a good soldier as long as you're not in the forefront. And one of the things we must take under consideration that war is still going on and keeping you in a second-class position because they know your capabilities and strength and power that you have had inside of you from your inception into the universe. And we're living on a planet And a lot of people are not aware of this planet that we're living on. So he says in the scripture, come out of her. Come out of Babylon. You got to live out of the, you got to live here, but you don't have to be in her because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you leave the spirit, you don't know what's happening nowhere. I don't want to talk too long, but I wanted to bring those instances in there because they're very important to study. Come out of her spiritually, not physically. You win in this war, but your day has ended. He told you that the days of the Gentiles have ended. We are not entering into a very new age. We are entering in a new age, and they are desperate. Other people are desperate. They want to be first. But he says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Thank you.
Wow. Pastor has, again, covered a lot of territory. Let me see if I can isolate this. Robert, did you hear some of the things that he was just saying in terms of, now, first of all, the first piece of what he just said that I want you to give some address from a young perspective coming from the younger generation is the fact that the black man has been labeled, he's been classified, and he's looked upon by society because of these labels as a sexual deviant and dysfunctional. But Dr. Prince just said that he's not a deviant. He's been given certain gifts and abilities. We've talked about that. He mentioned the fact that he is the first to be introduced on this planet in Africa. And because he is first in this planet, there are forces that are at work that have labeled him as a dysfunctional deviant. And this title about he's a sexual misfit. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? How they've classified some black man and he all he knows how to do is have babies. Then they put laws on the books about child support and all of this. But yet you can't support the child because the system won't give you a job. But yet he has this great power to reproduce because what Pastor just said, and let me hear what you got to say, is that he's producing at a greater rate than everybody else on the planet. So what do you think about that? Just jump in anyway. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Okay, my thoughts on this is basically my generation basically lost right now.
Okay.
My generation lost. So with that saying is like the older people, we don't have no guidance. Put it like this. We don't have no guidance because, you know, during the 80s and the 70s, you know, most of the 90s crack babies.
Right.
The fathers weren't there because of the system.
Right. The fathers weren't there.
Yeah, the fathers weren't there because of the system. So now they're raised by the women. That's why it's simple. That's why a lot of these generations now is homosexual now because they're raised by women. You've been around women all your life. With no male forms. So over time, that's what's gonna happen. So then you're right about the new age, it is new age. But with the same with a new age, it will be destruction first before things be rebuilt. You must be prepared for that.
Destruction.
It will be destruction before things can be able to be built.
So what you think we're seeing a dissemination. Destruction of a particular structure in our culture so that it can give way to something else. Now, what about the demographic? And Mr. Curry is still there. What about the demographic of 7 to 1? You got 7 black females to every. So that leaves 6 black women without a possible mate in their own race. What are your thoughts about it?
Polygamy.
Polygamy?
Polygamy.
If that's the only option, why do you say that?
Survival.
Correct.
You got to survive. We go back to the animal.
Right.
To the lion.
Right.
Fried lion. One male, and you're going to have 5 lioness.
Wow. Wow. We're looking at nature.
Nature. Because we is nature. We part of Earth. I mean, like what the Native Americans say, we is the keeper of this earth.
Right.
The thing is, we don't realize it, but we're supposed to protect this earth because, you know, we live on it, and it's supposed to protect it and nurture it. We don't do that because the chemical, everything, you know, the chemicals, the technology, this, everything is throwing the, I don't know how to word it right now, but it's throwing everything off right now.
It's
out of balance. Yeah, it's out of balance right now.
So, you know, I like the point that you're making about there has to be destruction. That's a thought that I hadn't thought about, that the system that we're in, we're seeing it unravel. I think Pastor touched upon it in his talk a moment ago when he said that the times of the Gentiles would end. And this is a consciousness that we have to see. This is in the Bible. What he quoted, he just kind of threw it out there. He didn't stop. But now let's stop for a moment, Robert. And how old are you, first of all?
24.
You're 24 years old. And you live here in Greenville, Mississippi. All right. Now, as a 24-year-old who's seeing that, seeing the system, and you have the insight to say it looks like the system is crumbling, coming apart, giving away to something new, and you just say it out of your own mouth that we need to look to the lion and the lioness. What about the stallion and the herd? There's one alpha stallion there that's in the herd. So we're looking to nature for a model. And I think Mr. Curry said that a moment ago as well. He talked about universal law. Mm-hmm. And I brought in the fact that universal law will never conflict with the Creator. But now what we need to look at now is what my pastor just said, is that there is an end to this system or culture that we're seeing. Now let's bring that into focus. Because the Bible says that the times of the Gentiles, which means a particular culture, is at its end point. Mm-hmm. And that will give way to something else. And I think this is being missed in many of our churches and not being preached. That's because we're become materialistic. And we've become not only materialistic, but we've become driven by pleasures in our culture to seek to satisfy pleasures rather than to think about that this present system that we're in. For an example, just a few years ago, we were talking about it wouldn't have even been thinkable for same-sex marriage. But now it's legislation. The family will never look the same again. Not in this country. The institution of the church. There are things happening in the church. Church will never look the same again. The family will never look the same again. Church will never look the same again. Government will never look the same again. Everything around us seems to be coming unraveled. Even our economy. There's some shifts in that. That's becoming unraveled on a global scale. So we must look to nature. So I guess what I want to say to you, as Pastor pointed out these things, the Babylonian system, which will probably fly over the heads of a lot of people that are not familiar with the term Babylon or what it means, but we can talk about that, and we're going to give Pastor a whole show to just talk about the Babylonian system.
Brother Khalid?
Yes, sir.
Let me throw a word in here. I just got a post that speaks to what we're talking about right now. Let me go over there right quick, and I got a statement to make. It says, the system got y'all thinking legal means right. But remember, slavery was legal, young brother. I said, wow, that's exactly what we're talking about. Now, I'm saying that to say this. When you look back in the times between, you know, look at our ancestors, even from the 1900s on up, we had large families. I'm one of nine in my family, seven brothers and two sisters. And I saw a statistic the other day that, and one thing we have to realize is the womb man is designed to develop that child once the seed hits there. But what they have done, there was another post that Betty put up a little while ago that got my attention, that Roundup is found in all, in about 80% of all feminine products out there. So therefore, you have young women now in their 20s and in their 30s coming up with fibroid tumors. It's knocking out, I mean, even during my time of pastorate, I never saw so many women having to have hysterectomy. It was designed that way through the chemicals that they were using in their products and so forth. Now, if you look at a man, a woman childbearing age is, you know, from their early teens up until really in their 40s, maybe a little bit more, but it's not that way anymore. The birth rate is down when it comes to that. So what you're looking at is that a man, you look at Dr. Sebi. Dr. Sebi is putting the right nutrients in his body, and he's trying to get us to, on that to heal our bodies. Dr. Sebi is 83 years old and just had a baby a couple of years ago. So man's seeds can last, but it's just that they are poisoning the system of our women. And it's all in those feminine products. Betty put that post up there. I just want to throw that in there.
Those feminine products. Say that again, Doctor. What's in those feminine products? Because I heard something about the chemicals that women use in their hair when they're getting these perms and different things that are doing things to their body. Doctor Blair talked about that a little bit. He gave the technical terminology. But say that again.
Yes, that's a GMO, the Roundup that you use out there in your yard. That chemical is found in those feminine products that women use.
Roundup is found in the products, and the effects of this, how do we get the documentation of the effects of this that it's having on our females? Now, I do know, Doc, that Johns Hopkins, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I've been mentioning it 2 weeks, and I'm going to mention it again because I want to settle in, that in Guatemala, Johns Hopkins healthcare provider was deliberately putting STDs into the community of colored people in Guatemala, and they have a lawsuit against them. Now, this is a major HMO. We do know that there are certain products that they do know that stimulate certain prostate problems within a certain group of people, black people, and creates uterus problems in terms of the black woman. And you're telling me Roundup is in these feminine products. Wow.
Let me bring Sister Hill in. She's in the queue.
Okay.
All
right.
Good evening. I just want to say that we're talking about there's an unraveling. Is there actually an unraveling, or is biblical truth starting to come forth? I mean, when we look back at Isaiah 4, it said that there would be seven women to one man. And that's, I mean, if we really look at today, that's really happening right now. Right this minute, there are women outnumbering men. And we're looking at it as polygamy and a lot of different names that we have that we attach to certain things. But is this God's way of keeping his family structure intact? I understand that there's seven women to one man, but those seven women need male covering. So that's that one man. Those seven women need validation. That's that man. To keep the family structure in, to keep the family in you know what I'm saying, to keep the family structure in line. Those women, that man is there to take care of those women. And then also, I believe it's in Matthew where Jesus said he didn't come to change the laws of Moses. He came to enhance them. So I can't tell you where the breakdown is between Timothy and Genesis 30, but there must be an underlying reason there for what's happening, because Jesus, it states that he said he didn't come to change the law. He just came to enhance them. But when you look at the male, the one male and the seven women, there's still a family structure, that male covering for those women. So that's what I'm seeing here.
Wow. Don't go anywhere, Sister Hill. Stay right where you are. Let's let my mentor and elder, Mr. Curry, address this. We still are on the air. We still have time. I want him to jump in here. I didn't mean to cut him off earlier, but I want him to jump back in and take right off, dovetail in
on what you just said.
Yes, I agree with what the sister just said. Additionally, let me say this here. We must find a way to survive, or we must make a way. You know, it is up to us to find a way or make a way. I listened to the pastor speaking a few moments ago, and he was talking about things about Babylon and various other places, and I know this here for an absolute certainty, that what we need, what we as a people need, in as much as we got a new reality, we got a new millennium, we got to develop a new attitude. And we need warriors as opposed to soldiers.